Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. Ready to explore some more fascinating business insights with me today?
Always. Let's dive right in.
Today, we're focusing on you, the listener, and helping you understand those crucial stages of growth that small and mid-sized businesses go through.
You know, but more importantly, how to navigate those stages.
Exactly. How to come out thriving on the other side.
And let me tell you, these stages are pretty universal.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't matter if you're a tech startup or a local knuckery.
Everyone starts somewhere.
It's fascinating, though, because it's not always a straight shot through these stages.
Interesting.
Businesses can find themselves circling back, especially when the market throws a curveball.
Right, right.
Or it's time for a strategic pivot.
Okay, so let's dive into that first stage then, shall we?
Sure.
Stage one, the existence phase. This is where it all begins.
You're taking that brilliant idea and turning it into a real business.
Making it a living, breathing business.
Yeah, proving your concept, yeah. Winning over those first customers.
And let's be honest, at this point, you are the business.
Your energy is everything.
I remember those early days. It's a whirlwind of excitement and terror all rolled into one, right?
Absolutely. You're pouring your heart and soul into making it work.
You're all in.
And this is where that concept of a minimum viable product comes in.
MVP.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of aiming for perfection right out of the gate.
Right.
Think of it as launching a prototype, the most basic version.
Just to test the waters.
Exactly. Gather feedback, refine things before going all in.
Makes total sense. Think of it like a soft opening for a restaurant.
That's a great analogy.
Get some early feedback, iron out the kinks.
And then bam.
You're ready for the grand opening. But even with the best MVP, this stage is all about survival.
Oh, absolutely.
You've got to manage that cash flow.
Like a hawk.
Like a hawk, exactly.
That's stage two, survival, where things get real. You've got customers, hopefully some loyal ones.
You've got to keep them coming back.
Can you keep the lights on? Can you keep growing?
It's not just about bringing in revenue at this point. It's about understanding your expenses. Every single one.
Yes, and figuring out how to make that money work for you.
It's a delicate dance.
I always tell business owners at this stage, implement a rolling 13-week cash flow forecast. It's a lifesaver.
So you can anticipate those shortfalls.
Oh, believe me, those shortfalls can sneak up on you like a ninja in the night.
Tell me about it. Been there, done that. Have the sleepless nights to prove it. But let's say you navigate these treacherous waters of the survival stage. You come out on top. Congratulations.
You made it.
Stage three, you're officially a success.
You're profitable. You've got a solid customer base. You're doing the darn thing.
Feeling good.
But now you've got a new set of challenges. The fork in the road, so to speak.
Decisions to make.
Do you stay the course, enjoy the fruits of your labor, or do you aim for the stars and scale up?
It's a big decision. And it's different for every business. I remember when my business hit this stage, it felt amazing, but also kind of scary.
I can imagine.
Like, what's next? What do we do?
What's important at this stage is adaptability. The ability to read the signals.
The market trends.
Yes. Make adjustments. Sometimes that means doubling down on what's working. Other times it means pivoting.
Changing direction entirely. Whoa, hold on. Pivoting. Like a full-on change of plans. Tell me more about that.
Think of it this way. You started with a certain product or service targeting a specific market. But maybe the market has shifted.
Okay.
Or you discover a new untapped opportunity. Pivoting means having the courage to adjust your business model, maybe even change your entire product line to align with this new reality.
So it's like that famous story of Netflix. They started as a DVD by mail service.
And then bam.
They pivoted to streaming and basically revolutionized the entertainment industry.
Exactly. And that pivot likely saved their business. They saw the writing on the wall, they adapted, and they thrived.
Wow.
But pivoting isn't always about reacting to external forces. Sometimes it's about recognizing an internal mismatch.
Ah, I see.
You know, your current operations just aren't aligned with your long-term vision anymore.
So you might need to shake things up.
Streamline operations.
Even if it means slowing down growth temporarily. It's about playing the long game. But let's say you've made those smart decisions. You're adaptable. You've even mastered the art of the pivot. And things are really taking off.
That brings us to stage four, the takeoff stage. This is where growth gets real.
Exciting.
You're expanding into new markets. Things are moving fast. The energy is palpable.
Exhilarating.
Yes. Yeah. But I imagine it can also feel like you're on a rocket ship.
And you better know what you're doing.
Absolutely. You need serious fuel. And I'm not just talking about coffee. We're talking capital resources, a team that can handle the pressure.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest challenges at this stage is managing the risks that come with rapid growth.
So you've got to be strategic.
Yeah.
Make sure the quality of your product or service doesn't suffer. And avoid burning out your team in the process.
Right.
Easier said than done.
Definitely. And this stage is often when the owner, the founder, starts to see a separation between themselves and the company.
Interesting.
It's a natural evolution, but it can be a tricky transition. You're not just the heart and soul anymore. You're building systems.
Right.
Delegating, learning to trust others to carry the torch.
It's like that moment when you realize you can't wear all the hats anymore.
You got it.
You have to build a team. Find people who are smarter than you in certain areas and empower them to make decisions.
And sometimes in those high growth takeoff situations, a founder might even step aside.
Really?
Allowing someone with different skills and experience to lead the company through this next phase. It's not always an easy decision.
Oh, I bet.
But it can be the right one for the long-term health of the business.
So you've navigated the existence, the survival, you've tasted success, and you've ridden the rocket ship of takeoff.
Quite a journey.
That brings us to the final stage, the resource maturity phase. Now what? You've reached the mountaintop, right?
You've reached a peak, for sure. You've got financial stability, a strong market presence.
Feels good.
But the journey's not over. The challenge now is staying relevant. The market never sleeps. So how do you avoid becoming a dinosaur?
It's like that saying, what got you here won't get you there, right?
Exactly. Now it's all about balance. You've got resources, expertise.
Right.
But you need to stay nimble, innovative. You need to constantly be asking yourself, what's next? How do we continue to evolve and grow?
So important.
And it's at this stage, when you've achieved a certain level of success, that many business owners start to think about their exit strategy.
Exit strategy, you mean like selling the company, retiring on a beach somewhere?
It could be that. Or it could be merging with another company, going public, or handing the reins over to the next generation of leadership. It's about thinking about the long-term future of your business and what you want that legacy to look like.
That's a powerful thought. Even at the height of success, it's important to keep an eye on the horizon and be prepared for what comes next. So we've journeyed through these five stages, each with its own unique set of challenges and rewards. If there's one thing I'm taking away from this, it's that adaptability is key.
Absolutely. And let's not forget the importance of having a clear vision for your business, a deep understanding of your market, and a team that can execute that vision. And sometimes you need a little extra support to navigate these complex stages of growth.
That's where resources like Market Value Creation come in. They specialize in helping businesses thrive.
Whether it's through individualized consulting, key partnerships, or direct resource allocations, Market Value Creation has a proven track record of supporting entrepreneurs and leaders in growing their businesses and achieving their goals.
We've talked about adaptability being key, but how can businesses actually cultivate that agility and responsiveness?
Well, one key aspect is building a culture of innovation and experimentation.
I like that.
This means encouraging employees at all levels to share ideas, challenge assumptions, and test new approaches.
So it's not just about having a few brilliant minds at the top making all the decisions.
Right.
It's about empowering everyone to contribute to the innovation process.
Precisely. Creating a safe space for experimentation, where failure is seen as a learning opportunity rather than a setback, is crucial for fostering that creative energy.
And I imagine this becomes even more important during those pivot moments.
Absolutely.
When the old ways of doing things might no longer be effective.
When you're navigating a significant shift, you need all hands on deck, everyone bringing their unique perspectives and insights to the table.
Okay, so how can businesses create that kind of environment? What are some practical steps they can take?
One approach is to establish dedicated time and resources for innovation.
Okay.
This could involve setting up innovation labs, holding regular brainstorming sessions, or even allocating a percentage of each employee's time to exploring new ideas.
I love that idea. Make innovation part of the company's DNA.
Exactly.
Not just something you tack on as an afterthought.
And it's also important to celebrate and reward experimentation, even if it doesn't always lead to immediate success.
Oh, that's interesting.
Recognizing and valuing those efforts sends a powerful message that it's okay to take risks and learn from mistakes.
I bet that kind of culture attracts and retains top talent, too.
You're absolutely right.
People want to work in environments where they feel empowered to contribute and make a difference.
It's about creating a culture where people feel valued, challenged, and inspired to do their best work.
Now, beyond fostering that internal innovation, what about external factors? How can businesses stay ahead of the curve and anticipate those market shifts that might require a pivot?
That's where market research and competitive analysis come in.
Right.
It's about actively monitoring industry trends, tracking customer preferences, and keeping an eye on what your competitors are doing.
So it's about more than just gathering data. It's about turning that data into actionable insights.
Exactly. It's about identifying patterns, spotting emerging trends, and anticipating potential disruptions that could impact your business.
And I imagine technology plays a big role in this process.
Oh, for sure.
There are so many tools and platforms now that can help businesses gather and analyze data more effectively.
Absolutely. From social media monitoring tools to customer relationship management systems to market research platforms, there's a wealth of resources available to help businesses stay informed and make data-driven decisions.
But it's not just about having the technology.
Right.
It's about having the skills and expertise to interpret that data and extract meaningful insights.
You're spot on. That's why investing in data literacy and analytical capabilities within your team is essential.
So it's a combination of technology, skills, and mindset.
Yeah.
You need the tools, the expertise, and the willingness to embrace data as a guide for decision making.
Precisely. And it's an ongoing process. The market is constantly evolving, so businesses need to be continuously learning, adapting, and refining their strategies.
It all comes back to adaptability, doesn't it? And for those who might need some support in developing these capabilities, there are resources like Market Value Creation, which we mentioned earlier.
They're fantastic. They specialize in helping businesses navigate these challenges through individualized consulting, key partnerships, and direct resource allocations.
They understand that every business is unique, and they tailor their approach to meet the specific needs of each client.
Well, I think this has been an incredibly insightful deep dive into the world of small and mid-sized businesses. We've explored the stages of growth, the importance of pivoting, and the strategies for cultivating adaptability and responsiveness.
And we've highlighted the crucial role that leadership, innovation, data analysis, and a willingness to embrace change play in driving success.
If there's one key takeaway I hope our listeners glean from this episode, it's that growth is a journey, not a destination.
Love that.
It's a continuous process of learning, adapting, and evolving.
And whether you're just starting out or leading a well-established company, remember that you're not alone on this journey. There are resources, mentors, and communities ready to support you every step of the way.
So embrace the challenges, celebrate the victories, and never stop pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
You've got this. Until next time, keep diving deep.